Grab your Bibles, grab a bulletin, go to the inside page, and I want to have you write down some things this morning. I want to finish up our series. We've been looking at this idea of church works, and this morning I want to talk about church works when we have a vision so great that we are changed and we will grow. We will grow and change. Jesus said in John chapter 14, verse 12, he said, "I tell you the truth. Anyone who believes in me will do the same works that I have done, and even greater works, because I am going to be with the Father." Over the last few weeks, we've looked at these ideas of church works, and it involves this idea of elders who are leading, deacons who are serving, and members who are involved in participation of that leading and serving. We see the idea that we are also to be looking at the value, the importance of others. And we talked about those people that are in our community that we have an opportunity to bless and to encourage. We talked about speaking our passion about Christ, being able to find our voice and share the words that are so powerful to our life. And today I want to finish with this idea that church works when our vision is so great that we will grow and we will change. I want to use two words this morning that you're familiar with. Two words that probably don't really need to be identified or defined, but the idea that we use them often, but sometimes inappropriately. The word is great and vision. Great and vision. I'm not talking about the greatest. I'm not talking about even greater. I'm talking about great. This concept that in us is this God-given talent, ability for something of significance, of purpose, of value. And I'm talking about vision, the idea that I'm able to see the journey, the path before me, and I know what is to come, even though I have not yet walked those steps. The idea that vision is not this, at least this morning, I don't want to talk about this miraculous idea of some sort of dream or a voice or a sign, but it's that mundane, it's that routine, that day in, day out idea that says, if I plant a seed, if I plant a little, I will reap or harvest a little. It's that vision that says, if I plant even more, I will reap even more. Great vision is what I want to speak to us about this morning. I want to start with this concept of great. Listen to me for just a moment. Agree with what I'm saying with the words amen if this goes with your heart. We are created by a great God. Amen? We are redeemed in a great way by a great Savior. Amen? We are called to do great things. We are instructed by the great Word of God. We are a part of this history that has been passed on from generation to generation in great ways. We are gifted with the great Spirit of God. That's the same Spirit that brought Jesus up from the grave and gave him new life. That Spirit is living in us. Amen? And yet, some of us, maybe in this room, maybe watching online right now, there's some of us that experience the greatness of God, but yet believe that we are somehow made to be average. There might be some that are in this room who believe that I am even below average. This morning I want us to think about the greatness of God and all that He has given to us, all that He has prepared for us, the opportunities, the talents, even the challenges that are in front of us point towards great vision and opportunity. Harriet Tubman once said that every great dream begins with a dreamer. Always remember you have within you the strength, the patience, and the passion to reach for the stars and to change the world. Jesus would call his disciples. He would say, "Go into all the world, make disciples, baptize them, teach them to obey all that I have commanded to you." And if that's not a great vision and mission, I don't know what is. Some have even called that the Great Commission for our lives. Washington Irving once wrote, "Great minds have purpose, others have wishes." Eleanor Roosevelt said the similar. She said, "Small minds discuss people, average minds discuss events, and great minds discuss ideas." And the great ideas, the greatness within our life, doesn't mean that we are without trial or challenge. Albert Einstein said, "The great spirits have always encountered violent opposition from mediocre minds." Last week, we were talking about the story of Peter and John as they were on the way to the temple to pray. And there they meet this lame man who was out front begging. And you remember the phrase that they used? They said, "We don't have any silver or gold, but what we do have, we will give you. And in the name of Jesus, rise up and walk." And he was healed. And the onlookers and the bystanders were astonished at all that was happening. We were challenged on how to speak our passion last week. Several people came to me after services or throughout the week, and they said, "Matt, I don't know exactly what to say. How do I talk to people in which there's not this miraculous event going on?" Well, the story of Peter and John continues on. And in Acts chapter 3, verse 24 through 26, it says that they began to speak to these onlookers. And listen to what they said. In Acts chapter 3, verse 24, it says that the prophets, from Samuel and those who followed, as many as spoken, have foretold about these days. "You are the sons of the prophets and the covenant that God made with our fathers, saying to Abraham, 'And in your seed all the families of the earth shall be blessed.' To you first, God, having raised his servant Jesus, sent him to bless you in turning away every one of you from your iniquities." This passion, this purpose that they speak is rooted in three main points that I think we can infuse in our conversation as we try to share what is in our hearts and minds. Number one, it's this concept of history. It's this idea of what God has done throughout the past. Many of us have examples of how God has blessed us, how he's changed our life, how he has brought a new creation into this world, the transforming of our lives. We speak about the history of what God has done. We speak about the promise of what God wishes to see happen. We speak about all that God has aimed for throughout the years, that he wants to see mankind come to know him, to have a relationship, that blessing, that interaction. And then we speak about the opportunity, the joy of what it is to be a part of God's family, the blessing that it is. And you see Peter and John speak that as they even talk about Jesus, who comes first to you to be a blessing to each and every one of you, to remove your iniquities. But just like Einstein said, with the great minds, with the great purpose, you will be opposed, even violently opposed, by the mediocre minds. And the same thing happened to Peter and John here in this temple scene. As they are speaking to the onlookers, as they have just healed this man, as they have this situation happening, the chief priests, the leaders of the temple come, and they arrest these two individuals, and they take them into custody. They begin questioning them. "Why are you saying what you're saying? Why are you doing what you're doing? Why are you bringing this upheaval into our temple area?" And Peter and John continue to testify about the greatness of who Jesus is, his death, his burial, and his resurrection. And as Peter and John are beaten, as they are questioned, as they go through this whole scene with these temple leaders, it says that the temple leaders saw that they were no longer these ordinary men, but extraordinary in their courage. And today, I want to share with you what it looks like for a church to work. Because after this great healing, after this great event of testifying about their faith, of speaking passionately, even though they were persecuted, they come out and they gather with the church. And I want you to hear what a church does in the face of opposition. Open your Bibles to Acts chapter 4. And I want you to see how this takes place. Acts chapter 4, starting in verse 23. Acts chapter 4, starting in verse 23, this is Peter and John coming out, and they gather now with the people. And it says, on their release, Peter and John went back to their own people and reported all that the chief priests and the elders had said to them. And when they heard this, they raised their voices together in prayer to God. Sovereign Lord, they said, you made the heaven and the earth and the sea and everything in them. You spoke by the Holy Spirit through your mouth to your servant, Father David. Listen, they said, why do the nations rage and the people plot in vain? The kings of the earth rise up and the rulers bind together and against the Lord, against his anointed one. Now the history is that indeed Herod and Pontius Pilate, they met together with the Gentiles and the people of Israel in this city to conspire against your holy servant Jesus, whom you anointed. They did what your power and will had decided beforehand should happen. Now, Lord, in the midst of this trial, in the midst of this challenge, now, Lord, consider their threats and enable your servants to speak your word with great boldness. Stretch out your hand to heal and to perform signs and wonders through the name of your holy servant, Jesus. And after they prayed, the place was that they were meeting was shaken and they were filled with the Holy Spirit. And they spoke the word of God with boldness. And all the believers were one in heart and mind. And no one claimed that any of their possessions was their own, but they shared everything that they had. With great power, the apostles continued to testify to the resurrection of the Lord Jesus. And God's grace was so powerfully at work in them that there were no needy persons among them. For from time to time, those who owned land and houses sold them, brought the money from the sales, and put it at the apostles' feet, and it was distributed to anyone who had need. I want to ask you, as you listen to that story, as you reflect on that situation, do you see the obstacles? Do you see the challenges that were before them? These men did nothing wrong. They performed a healing. They brought health and life back to this crippled man out front of the temple. They did nothing wrong as they explained to the onlookers about their faith and what had just taken place. They did nothing wrong when they spoke to the leaders as they testified to the great purpose and plan that God had for this world. And as they are finally released, they gather together with these people, these believers in Christ. And the first thing that they do is express the vision of God greater than the obstacles that are in their way. So often in our life, we get it the other way around, don't we? We start to express the greatness of the obstacles that are in front of us. Such a situation like this that we've never faced. Oh my goodness, I don't know how we are going to overcome. I don't know how we're going to get through this. And our God somehow diminishes in size. But these first believers, they had it right as they speak about the greatness of God and the true size of their challenge that's before them. Their vision is admirable. Their vision is an example for us. Some see just the opposite, though. I've been really encouraged these last few weeks as we've had this opportunity to kind of spruce things up and get our facilities cleaned up and taken care of. We've had so many who have come down to pull weeds and cut back the vines, to clean up the playground, to take care of painting doors and so many other things, cleaning up classrooms, making sure that technology is still working as it should be, so that when we are able to start having our classes, when we are able to kind of get back to the schedule that we remember, we will be ready to make that happen. It's been encouraging to watch as people come in for a task or two that they've signed up for. Often they'll pull me or Kyle aside and they'll say, as I was doing this or that, I also noticed that maybe we should be tackling this other thing. And they see the vision, they see the opportunity, and they start moving towards that. Things don't just happen. Things just don't run by themselves. I mean, there's a few things that run by themselves. There's the little toddler who who sees candy or an opportunity and off they run from mom and dad. There's the dog that's at the door that sees the open door and off she runs away from the house. There is also the organization that just runs downhill. Things don't run by themselves unless they are running downhill. Think about a neighborhood that kind of runs into disrepair for just a moment. How does it start? Where does it begin? Quite often, if you could backtrack, roll back the history, you would see that there was a baseball. There was a rock that got flung and an attic window got cracked. And for some reason, the homeowner did not repair that quickly. Days go into weeks, weeks go into months. And that negative image then just gives way to the neighbors that the repairs that they need maybe could wait a day or two more. The things that are in their home or around on their property could just wait a little bit longer. There's no urgency. There's no vision for cleanliness or things to be just so-so. And little by little, house by house, week by week, projects get delayed, pushed back, until now the neighborhood is in full disrepair. But when you look at this story, when you think about these early Christians, at the moment that there was a challenge, the moment in which they first sense that things are growing larger than what they expected, what do? They go to God in prayer. They collect together and they ask God to be at work in them. They have a vision so great that they want to grow, they want to change, they want to meet the challenge that is in front of them. Today I want to end with giving you four things about a vision so great that it impacts our lives. Four things that I want you to apply to your life so that you will bring movement to your world, your family, and our world around us. Today we have a vision so great that I'm excited about the future. A vision so great that I look down the path and I see the reward, I see the opportunity that is to come, and I'm excited about what is to be. I believe that I can improve, I can change, I can accomplish great things, greater things that are before me. I believe that today's challenges lead to tomorrow's opportunities. A vision so great that I'm excited about the future. I mean, think about it for a moment. Many of us have had those career opportunities in which we were presented a challenge in our job or in interviewing for a place, and which we stretched, we saw the potential, we saw the opportunities, and we were excited about those changes that were coming to our life. Many of us have found ourselves in a relationship where we were excited about the potential of the future with him or her, and we were challenged to grow and to change so that we could envision that future together a little bit more with that person. Number two, vision so great that there is no small task. There is no task too small. It begins with the little steps. It is taking care of anything and everything to accomplish that goal. There is nothing too small, nothing too insignificant. Rome was not built in a day. A journey of 1,000 miles begins with a single step. Everything is important as we move towards accomplishing what God has placed before us. Number three, a vision so great that I can't go alone. A vision so great that I recognize that Matt Huddleston is not going to be able to accomplish all that is before me on my own. Number one, I need God's Spirit in me. I need God's Word guiding me. I need God's people helping me. And so often I see us living in a world in which our vision diminishes because we don't connect with others. Vision so great that I won't go alone. We must go together. We must look for support. We must look for encouragement and help. And I want to challenge all of us to see that God's purpose in our life is so great that in this moment right now, when we are social distancing, when we are disconnected from one another, when we have to wear our masks to to hide our expressions and our joy from being with one another. This is a great challenge in front of us and in our society. I want to challenge you to find a way to connect, to be with people. If you're at home watching this online and health is not an issue, if you know that you could be a part of this church, you will do yourself a world of good by grabbing hold of the vision that God has for our lives and joining together with brothers and sisters, even in your home or here together, as we worship, as we challenge, as we encourage one another to live a life that God has called us to live. And number four, a vision so great that I must change. It is personal, it's relevant, it's practical, it is meaningful for our lives. A vision so great that I must change. I wish I could say that we could take time to ponder this, really meditate on this, to think about our passion and our voice, to think about our organization and our leadership and how we might adapt and adopt these principles. But I want to say that God's vision for us needs to be implemented right away. If we hold back, if we abstain, if we don't bring this into action right now, we will grow cold. We will miss the opportunities, and we will decide to sit on the sidelines for one more minute. But I pray that we will decide to live as God has intended. Martin Luther King Jr. once said, "If you can't do great things, then do small things in a great way." Jesus taught his disciples in John chapter 14, verse 12. He says, "Anyone who believes in me will do the same work that I have done, an even greater work, because I am going to the Father." And this early church, these early believers, at the first sign of threat or danger, they recognized that the danger was great, but God was greater. They call on God, asking Him to bring growth and change to their lives. This morning, as we think about a church that works, I invite each and every one of us to participate in the gifts and the talents that God has given to us, so that we can be a light and a blessing to our community. If you don't have a relationship with Jesus Christ, I want to encourage you to make that decision, to invite Him into your life, to commit yourself to being a follower, and have yourself baptized to receive the gift of God's Spirit so that it can live in you. And let us lead you and teach you and guide you. If there are concerns or issues in your life and you need help to find the motivation, the direction of how to live a faithful life, our elders are here and they would love to pray with you, to counsel you. Our office is open throughout the week. Please come by and let us sit down and talk with one another, pray with one another, and let us live in a pattern that honors Jesus. This morning, I want to ask you to live in a way that God's vision is so great that we will grow and change. If there's anything that we can do to help you along that journey, please let that be known. Let's stand together and encourage each other with this song.
Lord, take